Hello and welcome to the changing room for end of season awards.
Yeah! Woo!
Yeah!
Yeah! There we go. That's right, it's the end of the championship 2021. It's been a short season this season, but it has been absolutely packed full of action, which we've really enjoyed reviewing every week, and we hope you've enjoyed too. This podcast is going to take a bit of a different format to the normal ones. Each of us, Sid, Fids and myself, have come up with our team of the season, so we're going to run through those, and we've got a few awards interspersed in there as well. But before we jump into it, as always, let's just catch up with the boys quickly. Fids, how's your week been?
Yeah, week's been good. Weekend's been even better. To continue the theme of awards night, you are currently talking to the Abington Cricket Club 2021 single wicket champion. So I currently have a massive trophy and it's very shiny and lovely.
I saw a picture of that. What is it for?
Cricket. It's a cricket trophy for being an absolute legend.
But no. But what did you say? A single wicket
winner.
What does that mean then?
It's where members at the club play each other in a knockout competition that leads to a final.
What, like one-on-one cricket?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a complicated
format.
What kind of Mickey Mouse award is that?
And I've seen that trophy. That's a big old trophy for a bleeding, equivalent of a beer pong tournament.
Yeah, well,
one-on-one cricket.
Well, it sounds like he finally broke his duck.
Oh yeah, I've scored more runs across the tournament than I have in the whole season. But we'll quickly move on from that.
Sid, how about yourself?
Well, I've been having a far more action-packed weekend. More action-packed than cricket, I can assure you of that. I went to round three of the British Motocross Championships at the weekend.
Oh, I saw this.
Yeah, which I enjoyed.
Had no idea you were interested in that.
I have been on motocross bikes since I was 10 years old, Jamie.
Have you?
There's lots of things.
I didn't know that about you.
Today I've been out on my own road bike as well for a little blast in the sunshine at lunchtime today, which was nice. So yeah.
Could say that was a trial.
What bike have you got?
It's actually made up to look like a Triumph, but it's actually got a Kawasaki engine in it because it's a more modern engine. It's a bit of a custom job.
Sounds a lot more exciting than my 125 that's gathering dust in a garage. Yeah, I need to fix it up and sell it on soon. Right, well, let's jump straight in with our teams of the season. So, like I said before, we're going to break it up a bit. We're going to go for the front five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Nice sequential order. So, Sid, who did you shortlist for Loosehead Prop?
One of the first names on my team sheet, actually, had to be Bomber, didn't it? Had to be Bomber Hislop from Doncaster. He's been picked up by Wasps to move on to the Premiership. He's been leading Doncaster for however long, and he's had a killer season this year. So that's who I got there initially. What about you boys?
I just want to point out that the way I've tried to select my team is that I've tried to get at least one from each club. But like Sid has just said, first name on my team sheet, other than the fact that he plays at number one, and that's helpful because I started at the beginning. but I've also gone for Robin Hislop, a.k.a. The Bomber. I don't think you can not include him. You know, signed for Wasps, in the Scotland A squad for the summer, has just had an absolute barnstorming season. And when he was injured, was incidentally when sort of Doncaster didn't play so well. So I believe he's been a massive part of the success that they've had this season in finishing third. So,
correlation, I believe they call that, don't they, Fiddler?
Well, they could do. I'm sure they do.
Well, I am going to make it a clean sweep of Bomber Hislop at number one.
Good man.
Yeah, we've all agreed. Yeah. All agreed. I've got honourable mentions for each of my positions. So,
I've not put that much effort in.
Have you not? I spent a good morning working out my team.
I've got a couple that I really wanted, that I really was torn between, but not honourable mentions in every position, though. No.
I've got one for this one as well, Jamie, but you go first.
Well, obviously, Will Davis of Ealing, he put in quite a shift throughout the season and scored a few tries off it, but because he's playing in a team that's gelling really well together, and okay, he's done really well, he's scored a load of tries, and this is a common theme throughout my team, just because somebody's in the winning team or one of the top two teams doesn't automatically make them the best in that position. So it was his lot. Will Davis, honourable mention. And then just for pure consistency and the back end form of the season from Jersey, I've also got Dan Richardson in there.
Nice.
Yeah, so well done to him.
Yeah, I was going to throw in another name. My honourable mention would have gone to James Flynn of Ampthill. Finished second in their try-scoring charts behind Sid Blackmore. So he'd have been mentioned by me, but wouldn't have dislodged Bomber.
No, not quite. Okay, so loose head prop, Bomber Hislop across the board. Well done, Bomber, and good luck at Wasps and with Scotland. On to hooker. So, Fitz, we'll come to you first. Who have you got at hooker?
So, again, this man has, I would say, pulled up trees this season. He's, again, got another move to Wasps, and I'm going for Cornish Pirates Dan Frost. So he, well, 9 games this season, was sorely missed in that one that they didn't, he didn't play in, finished with 7 tries. I don't think that's a bad return. I've got some honourable mentions as well, but do you want me to save those or?
Go for it.
So honourable mentions, I've got 2. So Sid Blackmore, I've just mentioned. I thought he's been excellent for the Mob. And I was also going to shout out Jake Farnworth at Nottingham, purely for his intercept try where he ran it in from 60, 70 metres, showing outrageous pace, absolutely outrageous for a front rower. But my hooker in my team of the season is Dan Frost.
Nice. Well, I've gone, again, similar vein, Dan Frost for me. Absolutely, for all the reasons you've just said, consistency, scored tries, been there all through the season. My honourable mention was for Dave Ward, however, who has been leading the way at Ampthill.
Good shout.
Was he joint top try scorer for Ampthill this year?
Joint second.
Sid Blackmore did get more. Yeah, so, but I just think Dave Ward, yeah, the experience he's been, he's played every game, almost every game, but yeah, he was an honourable mention as well. But Dan Frost has taken it for me.
Yeah, Dan Frost is definitely a strong one. However, whilst you two have sat there and contravened yourself and been digging yourself the hole, I've actually gone for Sid Blackmore as my first choice.
I think
and another little mini disclaimer as to how we all went about picking this. I've just gone for players that I rate, and I it's not just because he's got a great name. He does spell it with a Y though, but never mind. But look, he's absolutely been exemplary in the way that he plays. He's appeared in 9 of the 10 games. As we know, he scored 5 tries, is it?
Yep.
So he's been leading the try scoring. He's just been putting an absolute shift in. So yeah, I'm just really impressed by that. He's a tough geezer, and I want him on my team. So Sid Blackmore for me.
Fair enough. Good stuff. So tight head prop then. Tight head prop. I'll start with this one. So it was a tough one to pick for me, and I'll start with my honourable mentions. So Phil Bolton at Coventry. He's been there consistently throughout this season and just been a pillar that they've been able to support themselves on. So well done, Phil. And then Kieran Parker at Jersey, similar to Dan Richardson on the other side. They've just both been doing really well at Jersey. They've both been selected week in, week out, pretty much. So Kieran Parker, honourable mention. But for me, standout tight head prop of the season, just earned himself a call up to the South Africa squad to face the Lions, Vincent Kok for Saracens. He's done very well, been very strong, and really been a driving force for that Saracens team. So Vincent Kopp for me.
Yeah, I'll jump in there and say that I've actually gone with that one for my first choice as well. Vincent Kopp, he is not just world class, he is world beating. He is literally a World Cup champion right now, and he's over in England, obviously expecting to be playing in the Premiership. He's been in the Premiership for a number of years, and then as Saracens have come down to the Championship, there's been no self-righteousness. There's been no sitting on the high horse. Vincent Cock has got his head down and got his hands dirty, and he's been shoveling into them big heavy scrums all season long. He's racked up a lot of appearances as well. So it's not like he's just showing up for the odd game or two to make the cameos. He's really been exemplary in showing how to get involved in this season.
I will also be selecting Vincent Cock, but for very different reasons. But like Jamie has said earlier, I had Phil Bolton down from Coventry. He was one of my honourable mentions. My other one was Aleki Latui, who is someone I think will not be retiring ever. He will probably still be playing Championship rugby by the time he's 97. So good on him.
He is still going strong, isn't he?
He is. But for me, I've picked Vincent Cock because it was a little bit of a redemption story for me. Obviously, first game away at Cornish Pirates, you'd have thought that the Saracens front row would have been able to dominate there, but they didn't. And the Cornish Pirates turned Saracens over, as we all famously remember. And to come back from that sort of disappointment as a World Cup winner, as a current world champion, again selected in the South Africa squad to face the Lions this summer, to come back from that, which, let's be honest, was a total humiliation, to then change the way that Saracens played, get back to that dominant level that we all expected them to be at, to even got two tries in one of the games, and so purely for the comeback and the way that he's gone about playing. He's only missed two games this year, wanted to play. He has got the nod for me at number three.
So, a clean sweep for Vincent Cock on the other side of the scrum then. On to the second row. Fids, we'll come to you. Let's do both at the same time then. So, your two locks to finish the first five.
Both of my locks have made 10 appearances this season. I think they've been very much symptomatic of the performances that their respective clubs played this year and very much suit their styles. So I've got Charlie Beckett of Ampthill, and I've also got Matt Challoner from Doncaster. So I think I've gone for two guys that absolutely play with their hearts on their sleeves, give 110% every time, and are for me great leaders and phenomenal engines that you want in that second row position. So not only to bring that leadership and to help the guys along, but also to be able to physically carry that on for 80 minutes. So, and the fact that they both played 10 games, they didn't miss a game. So for that reason, Charlie Beckett, Matt Challoner, you're in my side.
Good stuff, Sid.
I've got two completely different ones. Completely Ooh. Different lock pair.
Interesting.
To round off my type five. I've gone for Bobby DeVee, South African, different style of play, fast, strong, just, rolling thunder of a man. He's been impressive for me this season, so I'm chucking him in there. And this is the end of my just chucking in crazy Saracens players. But when are you not going to put Mara Toji in your in your team? Again, someone else has just been on that super high pedestal and dropped down and really got his hands dirty. He's not just there making the appearances. But don't worry, that's the end of my superstar names in my team from Saracens. But I think there isn't a world that exists that I'm not going to have him in my team. So you're nuts if you've not got him in there, in my opinion. But think about that. Imagine that. Bobby DeVee and Mara Toji turn up to play in the engine room for your local team.
Just tweak my hammy, coach. Just tweaked it.
Yeah.
Don't think I'll be able to carry on.
I think for me, Itojo wasn't in contention because he's obviously playing a lower standard than he's used to. And to be honest, I think he's got an easy ride as a result. Like, the team have been pretty consistently mauling everybody. So how hard has he had to work for it? I'm not questioning his commitment.
Or has he been the reason they've been
I don't know. I don't know. I feel like there are others who have worked harder for their team as a result of the team not necessarily being as high up the league. So for me, Itoje was out. It's controversial, but that's kind of a bit of a theme to my pickings. I'm sure I'll cop some flack for it from people on Twitter. But yeah, I had Bobby to beat, so picked him. Yeah. He's so athletic, he's involved with everything. He was one of the first people down on my sheet for this season. And then I was torn between Charlie Beckett and Matt Challoner for exactly the same reasons that, Fizz, you've picked them. They are both there consistently, given their all. They've been picked week in, week out, and really do a lot of the grunt work. But I think, for me, it'll be Matt Challoner. So Bobby to beat and Matt Challoner are my two locks of the season. So that's the end of our first five. We'll take a little break there. We'll give the listeners' ears a break and move on to some of our end of season awards.
Oh, fix your bow ties, boys. Is that
absolutely? Absolutely.
Is that some awards? Is that some awards music? Is that some awards music?
Charge
I hear.
Your glasses.
Oh, I think I can hear that now.
Oh, that's nice, isn't it?
Proper
fading up ever so slightly. So we've got a number of awards to bring you throughout this show. We'll start off with a handful here. So we'll go for some of the staples, the staple awards in
the expected
any
ones.
Decent rugby club. So Golden Boot, the Golden Boot Award. Who has scored the most points? Not necessarily from kicking, because some of them have scored tries as well, but who has scored the most points this season? So doing very well, having only appeared five times for his team, was of course Owen Farrell, scored 73 points in third place. But the top two have both appeared week in, week out for their respective teams, and Sam Olver slightly ahead of Owen Farrell for Doncaster on 77 points, but really leading the way is Brendan Cope for Jersey on 89 points. Brendan Cope gets our Golden Boot of the 2021 season. So well done, Brendan.
Good man, Brendan. Well done.
Following in a very similar vein then, the Golden Ball. The Golden Ball is the our award for the top try scorer of the season. In third place then, we've got previously mentioned Dan Frost from the Cornish Pirates. 9 appearances, 7 tries. Well done, Dan. Very well done.
Almost worth putting him in your team.
Almost. and then Alex Lewington in second place for Saracens. 8 appearances, 7 tries. Done very well. Really torn it up on that right wing for Saracens. So well done to him. But leading the way, Ealing captain Rain Smith. 9 appearances, 9 tries, phenomenal effort. Well done, Rain. That's great. Great achievement.
Wrecking ball. Wrecking ball.
Raining tries.
Oh, wow. I was wondering how long it was going to be before the first terrible pun came out.
Award for best joke?
Definitely not. So our third award then is for the most improved. And we left this open. This could be a player, this could be a group of
podcast
players, it could
host.
Be a team, it could be... Well, it's podcast definitely not going to be me. So, most improved. Let's see who the candidates were for this one. Sid, who were your candidates for most improved?
So, one that we all spoke about throughout the season... for different things, which lends itself to why they're nominated now. Nottingham as a team, so not an individual, Nottingham, the whole squad, because they went from losing just every game they had for however long, all the 3/4 of the season, whatever it was, and then eventually picking up a couple of wins, and then coming to the end of the season just a couple of points away from beating Doncaster, who are right there, toward the top of the table. So, what a journey they've had. So, yeah, that's why they've earned themselves a nomination.
Nice, Fiddler.
I've got two most improved nominations. One is for Jersey Reds. Again, struggled early season and then had a very strong finish to get themselves up to 6th in the table by the end of the season. But I would also like to nominate Doncaster Knights as most improved because I don't think any of us predicted them to do as well as they did this year.
Yeah, very good point.
I think we probably predicted them to be in that sort of mid-table scrap but they've ended up being best of the rest when you take out Ealing and Saracens. So for me, I think they're also worthy of a nomination.
Okay, very interesting. Yeah, I was going to nominate. Well, my nominations have already been mentioned, so we'll stick with those then. So Nottingham, Jersey Reds, and Doncaster Knights are our shortlisted nominees for most improved this season, and the winner is Nottingham Rugby. Well done.
Yay!
Back round that sundial, let's go. Yeah! Lads.
That final flourish at the end of the season has done you wonders. Considering the position that they were in, I think that was what took it for all of us, was that the position they were in at the beginning of the season, having only been together 4 or 5 weeks before the season started, and the way they've progressed throughout the season to build and finish on that high note is well deserving of this award. So well done, Nottingham Rugby. Which leads me to the last award, a little jokey award here. The baldest team of the season.
Oh hey, God. There are no joke awards in this show.
It's this all ceremony. Deadly serious.
There are no joke. Hey, right,
this,
come on.
This is a very niche award.
They've been wanting this all year.
This is a very niche award, which I decided to give out based on a game that I saw when there were quite a lot of chrome domes on the show. And I did my research and found that the boldest squad in the 2021 Green King IPA Championship was in fact Ealing Trailfinders.
Ealing Trailfinders.
That is the secret to the success.
Are we talking most players? Most players, or severity of baldness?
No, the most players who have no hair. So, so I think it leans towards Ealing's average age, which is something hovering around 31. So it kind of makes a bit more sense. But they had no fewer than 5 players on the pitch at one point who were bald, and it caught my eye. Shall we get back to our team of the season then?
I think probably should.
Yeah, okay, so we'll go for the next 5. So, starting off at blindside flanker. Sid, would you like to go?
Yeah, flankers were tough for me, so everyone can feel free to ignore my selections for these. But so what we were just arguing about in the sort of second row debate there, versus, you know, in terms of who's put what in for their team. For 6, I've gone for a bit of a controversial one. I was semi-moaning, semi-celebrating him a week or two ago. But I've put in Alex Humphrey of Amptill, because his style is what we were talking about a couple of weeks ago. Very abrasive, very in-your-face, very aggressive, confrontational, but you know what? That's what you want from your 6, isn't it? I suppose. And he seems to get the job done, and he's been there all season long. I think he's had 9 games. I think he might have only missed 1, if I'm correct. You know, good club man. So I'm going for it. You know, I'm putting him as my enforcer, my hard man. I'm going Alex Humphrey at 6.
Well, you've taken the words right out of my mouth, because Alex Humphrey, for all those reasons that you've just said, Alex Humphrey was my pick at 6 as well.
Oh, I didn't think he'd get picked up by anyone else.
Mm. Yeah, I spotted him. But all those reasons, very valid, and that was exactly why I picked him.
Well, I've not picked him.
Oh, I thought you were.
I've done a bit of cramming to fit people into my back row. And as you said, Sid, thank you for raising that I hope these people can play across, and they do play across.
Row. I was going to stick a lot of 8s in.
but I have gone for Cornish Pirates captain Tom Duncan at 6.
Okay.
I think it's a position where you need leaders, you need your leadership. He brings that in abundance, and he's also a huge try-scoring threat. Not as huge as Rayne Smith, I will add, but he has got 6 tries this season in his 9 appearances. And I like the fact that my back row offers you that try-scoring threat. I like the balance that it gives me, sort of attack and defence. So, and the fact he only missed 1 game, almost an ever-present, gets the nod for me. So Tom Duncan at 6.
Despite the fact that he's never played 6 this season.
Yeah. Maverick, me.
Everyone loves playing six, don't they? Six is great fun.
He started every game that he's played at eight.
Yeah, but as I said before, I've had to do some cramming. Honourable mentions, you know, Alex Humphrey was in my shortlist, as was Joe Atkinson of Bedford.
Fids has got some creative team management going on. There's nothing wrong with that. Who knows? He might even play better at six.
All right, so seven, open side. Who's your open side, Fids?
As I've tried to pick people from each club, this I found quite difficult because I would have loved to have got Joe Atkinson in there. I think he's been outstanding for Bedford this season. Popped up with a couple of tries, a couple of line breaks that have led to assists, and has sort of marshalled the defensive line very well for Bedford at times. However, a team that has done very well going forward this year, especially within the pack, has been Coventry. And despite the fact that this chap hasn't played all the games, he only played five, unfortunately. He scored four tries in that time, made a real nuisance of himself, absolute unit. And I'm going for Senatiki Nialu as my number seven.
Fair enough. Another one picked in a position that he's not actually played this season. But there we go. We'll let you off the hook. My open side, my seven was... Oh, this was a tough one to pick, actually, because there were some good players out there. Like, and honourable mentions for me go to Simon Azokwe for Ealing. Did a barnstorming job for them, week in, week out. But again, for the same reason that I didn't pick Maratoje, he's doing a good job from a good platform. So it's easier. It's almost easier, I feel like. But again, not questioning his commitment. But that was one. And then Sean Raffel for Saracens. He seems to have come onto the scene and done a very good job for Saracens there.
Yeah,
Made quite an impression. But my open side of the season is Sam Graham for Doncaster. He has been picked consistently in that Doncaster team at seven. He's played all 10 games. Oh, the last one he was picked at six. But he started every... Yeah, I know.
You can't have him in that
I
team.
Can't do that.
You've gone against your own policies there. That's,
not
that's,
really.
Nah,
he started nine games at seven and one at six.
Not
so,
having it.
You
laid out your own law there. Right.
But he's started every single game. He's consistently been a performer for Doncaster. And I think he's gone under the radar a bit. I think he's doing a lot of the unseen work, a lot of the grunt work, and not getting all the glory. So I think he's underappreciated. And for his efforts this season, he's made my team of the season.
I've gone with... So to balance out my heavily criticised selection of Atoji there, to balance out all the points that basically you're making, Jamie. If you want pedigree for an open side, I'll give you pedigree, right? 10 games at seven, all through the season, and leading his team as captain for every single one of those games, I'm going for Jersey Red's very own Lewis Wynn. So, for all those reasons that you're laying out there in terms of, you know, putting it down for the whole 10 games, your leadership element that you need in the pack there, the fantastic picture of his wonderful moustache that we get every week on the team sheets, which is great fun, as well as being quite good at rugby, I'm chucking in Lewis. I've not mentioned really much about his actual rugby playing there. But yeah, no, look, he gets the job done. He's where he is for a reason. He's in that leadership position. So, yeah, good on him. Lewis Wynn, you're my number seven.
Number eight, then. So this one for me, I'll take this one first. So number eight, I had three contenders. All of them are the captains of their teams. So Ryan Burrows, Coventry, captain, number eight. He's played week in, week out, started at eight, scored a few tries along the way and done a generally good job at captain. So he made my shortlist. So the second one in the running has already been picked, and that was Tom Duncan.
So you've got to have him in. See, you're kicking yourself now.
You've got to have him in there.
Well, I've actually considered him at his correct position. But
that's why you had to get him in. You just had to do a little bit of jiggery-pokery.
So for all the reasons that Charles said already, and much the same as Ryan Burrows, Tom Duncan made my shortlist. However, you cannot look past this season, Rainsmith at number eight for Ealing. 9 tries, sterling job as captain. You can't look past him. So he's there. He's made my team of the season.
And mine.
And mine.
Lovely.
We need say no more.
There we go. Universally selected at number 8 for our team of the season. Well done, Rain. Number 9 then. I've got a left field choice that I think you might not see coming. So, Sid, let's go with you first.
Okay. Well, I in my mind, I think we're all going to mention him. Callum Watson has got to be there. You know, in my opinion, we've been talking about him all season, and he's, if you want one of those people that have contributed most to their team, rising stars and just people that you rate, Callum Watson's right in there for me. However, I'm really torn between him and Connor Tupai. I mentioned him, you know, for Bedford. I mentioned him a few weeks ago and how much he contributes to Bedford and how he controls the game and the pace that he plays with. That's my toughest choice, I think, on this entire team, just, you know, between those two. And I'll make it after you boys have told me who you've selected.
Fair enough. Okay, well, I'll go next. I had a short list of 3. So I had Jordan Burns from Ealing, someone that I'd spoken about before, the fact that he never got a start, always came on, off the bench, always scored. Was an absolute driving force.
Yeah, always incredible.
Just an absolute nightmare for retiring defence to have to face. And someone who's lightning quick and
so quick.
Got an absolute knack of scoring tries, and as a 9, you sort of want that. My second choice was Max Green of Jersey. So the on-loan Bath man, I think, has had an absolutely stellar season for the Reds. Again, sets the tempo for what is a very attacking-minded side and a very sharp back line. However, I've gone for the person who I think has really kicked on for their team, delivered for the team, has really helped them out, and that person is Callum Watson. So here's my 9. You want someone who can just play off the cuff a little bit, and you know, his try against Harper at the opening round where he tapped and went from 60 metres out, just to have that foresight to think, oh, do you know what, I could get through this gap and just put them under a little bit of pressure, and just being able to do that, play a bit of structure, and then boof, off the lead and off you go. I think you need that little bit of X factor, which is what I think he brings. So he's in my side.
So I've also recognised Max Green for his efforts at Jersey. I've looked at Alad Davis for Saracens. He's obviously been very good for them. However, for me, and I wasn't expecting you to mention him, Charles, but Jordan Burns has made my team of the season, despite only starting the last game.
Mm.
And he is my 9, purely because the impact which he has had on that Ealing team and the pace that he's made them play at when he's come on. Earlier in the season, we spoke about how Ealing just take games away from people in the second half. And it's fairly close in the first half, and then you take it away in the second. And I think a lot of that is down to Jordan Burns and the pace that he plays and the tempo that he brings to that team. And just, yeah, phenomenal. Phenomenal effort. So he's not escaped our attention, despite starting on the bench most of the time. Jordan Burns for me.
Fair play. So Sid, down to you. Tupai or Watson? Tupai or not Tupai? So
I think I'm going to chuck Callum Watson in there to have a Richmond player in there.
All right then, so I think there might be some equally diverse selections for number 10, for fly half. So let's start with you, Fids. Who have you got?
Okay, so shortlisted, again, I went with... I went with 3, and I think one of them will surprise you. So in third place, I've gone for Arwell Robson of the Cornish Pirates.
Okay. Ooh. Yeah.
Came in sort of halfway through the season on loan from, I can't remember now, I think it's the Dragons. Anyway, one of the Welsh sides came in and absolutely took the 10 jersey by the scruff of the neck and really made it his own. You know, came in, 30 points scored in 4 games, couple of tries in there, really sort of drove the back line at the Pirates and got them firing again. And I think he was outstanding, and I think he's one to watch. So he came third. In second, I've gone for Sam Olver. So he hasn't quite made my side. I know we've spoken at great lengths about how great we think he is. Obviously, marshalled a very, very strong Doncaster back line. But for me, if you look at the statistics, you want your fly half to be a point scorer. So I have gone for Brendan Cope my fly half. Top point scorer. Right. He is also the top try scorer if you look at all the fly halves as well. And I like that from a fly half. He doesn't actually defend in the 10 channel. They let him float in sort of the 12, 13, 14 channel. And that's where he's picked up two of his intercepts this year. So I like the fact that he's got a little bit of game management, knows that maybe a 10 is probably going to expect the brunt of the big runners off the base of the scrums, lineouts, etc. So playing to his strengths, saving himself, reading the game, and just being a point scoring legend, Brendan Cope makes my side.
Well, that's interesting. I was expecting a bit more diversity because he's also my 10.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he is. Yeah, I've picked him. So Sam Oliver, you've mentioned. Tony Fenner also at Coventry has done a really good job this year. But Brendan Cope, a lot. Jersey had a tough start to their season, but their attacking play in the backs has been really good, and a lot of that has been orchestrated by Brendan Cope. And for everything else that you've said, he has made my team.
Sid, clean sweep or...
No, I've gone full out Sam Oliver. Sam Oliver's my man. Sam Oliver has been automatic. He's just, you know, been a machine. It doesn't go wrong. It's a Swiss watch. He is not the hero of action films when the helicopter goes down. They get out and they're all covered in dust and their shirts all ripped up. He's the Sean Connery where he crashes the Aston Martin, falls down a mountainside, and gets up, and he's still got his drink in his hand and his tie's still done up. He doesn't ever look hurried, does he? He doesn't ever look phased. He's just so calm under pressure. He puts in the work across the season, all 10 games. I just can't say anything bad about him. And,
Crossfield
here
kick.
We are, another episode. Well, as I said at the time, I like that. I like the crazy style of attack that they have, the ambitious style that they have, and he's the one that's been controlling it. So for me, not only is my 10, but he's a real important player for me. I would like to sort of build the team around him.
So let's have some more awards.
Ooh, it's that music again.
Can you hear that?
I can hear that, it's nice.
So let's find out who has won some more of our silverware. Where should we go first? Troublemaker of the season. Troublemaker of the season.
The Ref's Pocket Award.
Yeah. So who are your contenders for this? I'll throw one in there straight away.
Got it.
Charlie Beckett.
Charlie
Beckett. He's had two yellow cards and he's always seeming to be at the middle of all the trouble that goes on. So, he plays close to the line, and to an extent that's good, but he does make a nuisance of himself. So, he's in there.
Our star six, Alex Humphrey, who tried making his way into national news when he tried clumping half the Saracens pack. If you're an England player, you're getting it.
So, both Amptill players. Charles, anyone else to add?
I've got two, if that's all right. Both these guys played very minimal game time. and both ended up on two yellow cards as well. So, I'd like to nominate Luke Jones, the Richmond scrum half. I think that's what you want from a scrum half. You want them to be a little bit gnarly and in your face. And I also would like to nominate Sam Aspland-Robinson of Coventry. The on loan Leicester Tigers wing. He played five times and got sin-binned twice.
That's quite a an effort for a wing, really, to get two yellow cards in five games. All right, so that's our shortlist. Charlie Beckett, Sam Aspland-Robinson, Alex Humphrey and Luke Jones. As a trio, we have decided the winner is Charlie Beckett for being an absolute nuisance and just getting in everybody's faces all the time, and a couple of yellow cards. So, Charlie Beckett, you are the troublemaker of the year.
Wait, should we boo him rather than clap?
Boo!
Boo.
Boo, Charlie!
Charlie!
Ouch, Charlie!
Boo!
All right, let's move on to the saddest departure of the season, which we have all decided we're going to give to one man, following in a similar disciplinary vein to our last award, Apakuki Mafu. What a way to end your season, end your career. End your career on a red card. Poor bloke. It was
so bad.
Not a good red card, but there we go.
So when was it?
It was in the third game of the season,
yeah,
I think.
It was their game against Ealing. He put a high shot in on Dean Hammond.
And the ban was...
11 weeks.
11 weeks.
11 weeks.
So, in the one 10-game season.
Yeah.
Ever.
And he was planning on retiring at the end of the season. He had to bring that forward. So, Apakuki Mafu for Jersey. That is our saddest departure of the season.
That is really sad. That is nightmare work.
Muppet of the Year, then. Ooh. Who are the nominees for Muppet of the Year?
I've only got one.
Who's our Kermit?
And I would like to nominate the RFU for their atrocious handling of funding for these wonderful clubs that have provided us with great entertainment and a platform to start a podcast.
Yep, sold. RFU, done. There you go. You are the Muppet of the Year, RFU. Absolutely. Not just for the funding, but for all the lack of attention that seems to be given to this league. The not getting the match centres up online.
Oh, yeah.
General lack of organisation in that respect. The debacle around the Saracens and Hartbury game, all that handling. Just generally, RFU, Muppet of the Year 2021.
Boo.
Okay, and a few special goodbyes then. So not an award, but a special goodbye, an honourable mention to some of the people leaving the Championship this year after a long time in the league. Special goodbyes go to, first off, Jeff Irvin, chairman of Bedford Blues. He said goodbye after 20 years in post and a long, long affiliation with the club. I'm sure it will continue, but just not in that capacity. What a servant. What he's built at Bedford there and what he's encouraged is fantastic. Great achievement. So well done, Jeff.
Big up, Jeff.
Well done, Jeff.
Big Jew.
Applause for Jeff.
Of course, we can't forget about Neil Folkes from Nottingham after, what was it?
30 years, I think, as a player and a coach.
Yeah, 32 years or something like that, yeah. Player, coach, and he's not just stepping down and stepping away. He is moving upwards, so that's good news for him. He's moving on to be scrum coach at Wasps. But, maybe not quite the season that he wanted to finish with, but the end half, the back half was good. So a good send-off for him, and well done, Neil.
And I would like to put forward Matt Challoner, who's been an absolute stalwart of this level of rugby for a long time now and been at Doncaster a few years, and just is, I think, a name that will always be spoken very fondly of at the club, retiring this season.
And throughout the league, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Absolute competitor, gives it his all, hits everything as hard as he can, and I think will be sorely missed by those at the Knights, but also fans across the country. So, Matt Challoner, enjoy your retirement, and it's a nomination from me.
Well done, Matt Challoner.
Nice one, Matt.
So, let's find out our final five players for the team of the season. Into the backs now, well into the backs. Let's start off with wingers then. We'll put them together. 11, 14, doesn't matter. Yeah, let's pick two wingers who have impressed us this season and made our team of the season. Who have you got?
I've gone for the man we've been talking about for a lot of the season, Doncaster's very own Jack Spittle. For all those reasons that I just mentioned about Sam Olver, if Sam Olver is the gun, Jack Spittle is the bullet. And they have been killing teams. If you want a bit of a metaphor there for it, they've been killing teams all season long.
Wow.
So yeah, he's just an incredible player to watch. So yeah, easy decision for me, Jack Spittle.
He's been hampered by injury a little bit this season, but he's also made my team. He's on that left wing. He's the standout amongst the others. There's a shout for Matt Worley and Ben Foley, but Jack Smith does take it. He's just been particularly lethal. So I will join you there.
I haven't selected Jack Spittle. He made my shortlist. Made my shortlist alongside his wing in crime, Kyle Evans. But for me, I like a finisher. I like someone that dots the ball down on the wing. Okay. You've got to have that. And so I've picked Alex Lewington. Top try scorer in terms of any back. I think probably didn't play up to the standard in the Prem that we expected as a Saracens fan group. And I think he's really enjoyed finding himself again, finding his feet. And that's been evident in his performances and the fact he's back on the try-scoring sheet so regularly. So Alex Lewington has made my team. I don't care which wing he plays on, I just want him in my team.
Well, I've picked him on the right wing, so yeah, we'll go over there. He's, again, been pretty lethal, scoring lots of tries, putting in the work, popping up in places that teams haven't expected him to. So, yeah, I don't think you can overlook him. But an honourable mention for Tom Williams of Jersey, who has also been pretty phenomenal for them this year.
And with that, I've put him on there. Yeah, I think he's done well for Jersey. I want a bit of balance. I want another Jersey player in there. I'm chucking in Tom Williams on the right wing for me.
Ben Foley.
Makes sense.
So I've gone for statistically the two best try-scoring wingers in the league. You want guys to excite crowds. You want them to score points. So I've got Alex Lewington and Ben Foley.
Centres next. We'll start on the inside. Inside centre for you, Fids.
I have gone for James Williams of Hartbury. He is someone that has stepped into the 10 role in Joshua Bragman's absence. And it's not affected his performance. Started off in the centres, point scoring machine, and just gives me a extra kicking option should I require it. So I went a little bit tactical, but I've gone for James Williams.
So you've picked two players in your team of the season from Hartbury,
yeah,
who finished ninth,
yeah,
and were pretty dismal for most of the season.
And James Williams, who's...
Wow.
All right, well, how many points has your 12 scored? James Williams scored 39 points.
You got a very strong view on these things.
I just think anyone from Hartbury, they've been so dismal. None of them have particular... Well, okay, Ben Foley for a...
All right, well, let's not have Callum Watson then, because he plays at Richmond and they're shit.
Yeah.
No, but he has stood out, though.
Let's not have anyone from Nottingham, because they're shit.
Well, I don't have anyone from Nottingham.
No, I don't know.
I'm just surprised that anyone from Hartbury's... Like, to have bet one in there, okay, but two is quite interesting. I definitely didn't go that way.
Could have gone with David Williams of Nottingham, but I didn't.
Well, I went a different way. You've talked about points scored and things like that. I've not gone for points. My number 12 has not scored any points. But I feel like he was at the heart of a lot of what was good about Coventry and a lot of their attack and play. Will Owen is my inside centre of the season. He's unsung. Hasn't stood out on the score sheet, perhaps, but I feel like he's enabled a lot of other people from Coventry to be able to do that in attack. So he's the one for me.
I've gone for just another different outlook, just another one that I see a lot of potential in. And I see, not necessarily that he's done the most for the club or whatever like that, but... another person I always sing the praises of just because I think he is so valuable, Don Morris for Saracens. He's been coming off the bench nearly all season. He started a couple of games. But he does incredible things when he's off that bench. He's been scoring tries. He's got, I think, 3 tries under his belt. He's an absolute, wrecking ball. He's not tall, but the pace that he gets behind him and the way that he runs at the line is incredible. He's got a great pass. He's played England under 20, under 18. That doesn't happen by mistake, does it? So given the platform to, you know, play all those minutes, he could do incredible things, I think. If he's doing all that with, you know, a few minutes off the bench at the end of the games, then put him in the team of the year with that caliber of player around them as well, I think they could really do some damage.
Okay, so outside centre then. Sid, why don't you follow on from Dom Morris and tell us who you've got at outside centre?
So partnering Dom is another fairly young man, again, who runs at the line with absolute destruction. We've mentioned it a couple of times. Max Badilli for Ealing. Incredible with ball in hand when he is hitting that line and when he makes the offloads or when he's making the pass, whatever else. The pace is electric. Again, someone with plenty of potential. But also, we're talking about him as if he's an up-and-comer. He's got that Premiership experience. He came from Exeter. Danger Man, Max Badilli.
Oh, I also felt the same. I think he's a cut above the Championship, and for me, had to be in my side for all the reasons that Sid said. So, number 13, Max Badilli.
Well, it's another clean sweep then, because I've gone for Max Badilli as well. He's just at the centre of everything that seems to be going on in Ealing.
My jokes were bad.
But he's at the heart of everything that is going on in the Ealing attack, seemingly. He just pops up everywhere. So definitely agree, Max Badilli, outside centre. Which leaves us with our final position then, fullback. Charles.
I'm going to be ballsy here and say I think all three of us will have selected this particular player.
I think we might.
But I've picked this person because... for me, for a fullback, you want someone incredibly solid under the high ball. Doesn't drop anything.
Mine's not. No, I'm joking.
The typical bomb diffuser, if you will, and this person does that. Mm. Defensively, absolutely sound. You wouldn't want to... I don't think he misses many one-on-one tackles. And then in terms of attack, just absolutely lights up everything that this back line does. Pops up at the right place, makes the line break. Lovely soft hands when required, pace to burn. And an absolute leader at their club. So for that reason, this person is in.
I agree with all those things. They all describe my person as well. And I hope that these descriptions fit as well. But... for me, it's his ability to cut angles and find a hole. The way he finds a hole and just opens up a game, I think, is a credit to this team's particular style of play that we've been banging on about, and their amount of try scored from deep, if that gives any clues. I just love watching him play. And obviously the consistency throughout the games and that leadership element. Yeah, great, great addition to any team, in my opinion.
Well, I don't really have anything more to add because you two have nicked it all. So
announce it. Announce it. Who have we all picked then, Jamie?
We've all picked Rich Lane at Bedford.
Yeah, we have. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we have.
Yes,
there we go.
Have. Yes, we have.
Quality street, isn't it?
So let's get on to some of the most eagerly anticipated awards that we've got remaining. Where shall we start? Let's go with the moment of the season.
Oh, yes.
The moment of the season. Who are the contenders for the moment of the season? My suggestion is going to be the fact that we got fans back at grounds.
Which is massive, by the way. That is big.
Which is massive.
That is big.
They bring a massive boost to the teams. It's a massive boost to the club's incomes. It's just
huge.
What rugby is all about is the atmosphere and the community. So having fans back in grounds is my nomination for moment of the year.
Strong.
We can't, of course, forget about a huge moment that happened really early on in the season, well, first round of the season, which was when Cornish Pirates beat Saracens. Giant killing moment. It was something that we thought might not even happen at all. We expected Saracens to come in and do amazing things, but that moment to see the Dragon Slade so early on was such a shocker and such a big surprise. It threw the entire season on its head, so a major turning point there So that's a nomination for us. Pirates beating Saracens, round one.
All right. Well, I hear your giant killings, and I hear the defeating of COVID, and I'll raise you possibly the best bit of banter that there has ever been in a game of rugby. Imagine if there were crowds. Imagine if there were crowds in this game.
Imagine.
So I am nominating...
This is a big build-up.
I am nominating the wonderful work that the Cornish Pirates have done with Biffa, the bin company, who have made a sin bin out of a big red Biffa bin. And the fact that once you, when you get told off as a rugby player, you then have to go and sit in said bin. I think it's fantastic. It's brilliant. So for me, my moment of the season was when Joe Atkinson had to go and sit in
the bin. Get in.
Because he'd been binned.
In the annals of history and time, when people look back on the championship, I do think that they'll highlight that one, that moment. That is huge.
So out of those three contenders, then, we have to pick a winner. And we have done so. And that winner is...
By a mile.
By a country mile. The Biffa Bin!
The Biffa Bin.
Purely for banter, the Biffa Bin is the winner. So well done, Cornish Pirates. Nominated for two moments of the season there, but the Biffa well Bin taking it. So, two of our most hotly contested awards then. We'll start with the most exciting prospect. The most exciting prospect from the championship in this season. Who are our nominees? Will Holling, the Doncaster hooker, who has done a really good job for them. He's scored quite a few tries and he's generally just put himself about the park. So Will Holling was first nominee. Charles, chuck in another one.
Will Robson, Cornish Pirates fly half. Just had an absolutely outstanding season when he came in on loan from Wales.
Yeah, Sid.
I know we're mentioning him again, but you can't... You can't forget, but you can't not mention Callum Watson. He's been a real game changer, I think, and he's still a pretty young guy with a long way to go. And I really think in that position where you progress a lot with experience and with time, he's still got a long way to go. So yeah, Callum Watson for me.
There's a lot of contenders in this particular category because Elliot Opotoyembo stood out for Saracens a number of times when he played for them. So he's up and coming. Looks like he's got a bright future.
Another fullback that I like the look of and received some awards at the Coventry end of season award night is Louis Brown. And I'd like to nominate him as well.
Okay. Louis Brown. And Sid, one more from you.
You know what? Bit of a curveball. I did mention him a couple of weeks ago, but another one of those Sarri boys, Ali Crossdale, who's moving on to Wasps. I did mention it at the time, he's got incredible potential and he's not really had too much of a chance to show it off at Saracens, in part because of injury, but he's going out onto Wasps to do incredible things, I'm sure. So, Ali Crossdale, let's see what happens there.
Okay, a good bunch of people there showing the real depth of talent within the championship. We could probably have gone on, but we don't have enough time in the podcast for that. So, the winner of the most exciting prospect of the 2021 Championship season is... Callum Watson, doing good things, great Yay. Things at Richmond.
Go on, Richmond.
Absolutely electric. He's definitely got a bright future ahead of him, like Sid said. So, Callum Watson, well done. You are the Changing Room 4 most exciting prospect of 2021. So, the last category then, Player of the Season. All kinds of contenders for this, all kinds. Another one we could probably list numerous people for, but we will only pick three. We'll only pick three, one each for our Player of the Season, and then we'll pick one of those three. So, Sid, who is your nomination for Player of the Season?
I'm going to take a fiddler approach here, a bit more of a heartless, go-by-the-facts approach. As much as I've loved picking my team on what I think are my own personal opinions, I just don't think you can argue with a player being such playing such an important role within a team that's been so successful and ignore you know, I think he's been a pivotal part of Ealing's success. The tries are all there. The appearances throughout the season, he's been integral to Ealing's success. It's a Brian Smith for me.
Fids?
I would like to put the name of Sam Ulver forward for my player of the year. Again, like I said, the sort of the facts really back this nomination up. I feel he's led the Doncaster backline very well. Doesn't shy away from the defensive duties like normal fly halves, I should know. And is, you know, still young, has the ambition to, you know, play off the cuff a little bit and do things that can unlock defences. And I just love the way he plays, really attacks the line, delays the pass, just sucks people in and opens up holes for, you know, his team and his back line or forward. So for me, I would like to nominate Sam Ulver.
Okay, well, I'm going to chuck another Reading player in there, someone who stood out for me since he came back from injury a few games into the season. He's just absolutely been pivotal. He's been at the centre of everything that Ealing are doing well in their attack out the backs and just coordinating things really, really well from there. Max Bodilli, we've mentioned him before earlier. He got a clean sweep in our team in the season, and for me, he's the one. He's a great nomination. So, three strong nominations there, but the winner is Rain Smith for Ealing Trailfinders, captain, top try scorer of the league. Can't really argue that, can you? Can't argue it. He's got the stats to back it up. So, well done, Rain Smith. The changing room for Player of the Season 2021, Rain Smith.
Well done, Rain.
And that, as they say, is that. That is the end. That is the end. We have come to the end. Some controversial choices in there, I'm sure. There will be plenty of listeners who probably don't agree with who we've chosen. But if you do have an opinion on the matter and you do care to share, then please get in touch. Please get in touch on Twitter and Instagram, @changingroom_4. We'd love to hear your thoughts. No doubt they will be just as colourful and wide-ranging as ours have been. So please get in touch on there and share who you think should have won, either in the team of the season or any of the awards. That'd be really, really interesting to know. We are going to do one more episode this season. Of course, we're going to have to review the playoff final. We're going to do a single episode covering both games. So join us in 2 weeks' time. Keep an eye out for that episode where we'll cover all the action, the hotly anticipated action, which I'm sure will live up to the name, between Ealing and Saracens, to find out who is going to be promoted to the Premiership. That is going to be a good contest, one that nobody wants to miss, I'm sure. So until then, thank you, Sid. Thank you, Charles. Some great discussion, great selections there on the team of the season and the awards.
Well, mine were.
I'm actually surprised how many that we all picked. Actually, I didn't think that. I thought we'd be a little bit more diverse, but actually, we're obviously all great minds.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So until next week then, or until 2 weeks' time, when we'll be back on that final podcast episode to look at the playoff final, thank you for listening. We hope you've enjoyed it, and take care of yourselves.